Tonight, get your book, turn to page 97. Let's stand tonight and we'll have church tonight. 97.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the ways. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafting on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back the ocean caves. Earth shall see her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give those winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And shout salvation full and free. Highest hill and deepest cave. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
That's good singing. You may be seated. Good to see this good number back tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Who has a special prayer request on their heart tonight, spoken or unspoken? Yes. Amen. Rick Taylor. Don't forget Rick Taylor. Sylvia and little Rachel. He's a very sick man. Just pray God will cover them up. Yes, Brenda. Yes. Right. Who else tonight? Yes, Shirley. All right. John, Becky. Remember Becky. Anybody else tonight? Remember those in our church who don't know Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing to pray for. We always going to have folks who are sick. That's never going to change, church. We're going to get sick. The most important thing is when you take your last breath, do you have Jesus Christ? Amen. Nothing else is going to matter down here. So let's make sure we be everything we can be to everybody in the church. We do have lost people in our church. They need Jesus. All right, Brother Anthony, you and Dwayne come and take up our Sunday night offering if you don't care. Remember now, May the 7th, Celebration Sunday. Don't forget that. Brother Tom, you bless our offering tonight. that same note, someday when I've traveled my last mile here, the call will be coming for me. I'll enter the lifeboat that will be near to carry me over the sea. He'll hold my hand as over death's river I go. Then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven, I know. Turn to 137. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, isn't it? You can remain seated. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. And I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Come on, Miss Jessie. And then Nick's going to finish that wonderful message he had today. Boy, he was just getting me fired up when he cut the water spigot off this morning. Did you notice that? I'm ready for that.
Of rain, your salty tear became blue ocean. One tiny grain of sand turning in your hand a world in motion. You're out beyond the furthest morning star, close enough to hold me in your arms. Adonai, I lift up my heart and I cry. My Adonai, you are maker of each moment, Father of my home and freedom. Faithful knock resounds upon the rock of ages. One trembling heart and soul becomes a servant bold and courageous. You call across the mountains and the seas. I answer from the
His wonderful presence, and we're going to finish where we left off this morning. And I hope everybody had a good, restful afternoon. I know me and my family did. This is the first time my little family that we're doing the garden, and it's very, very little. It's just going to be strawberries and Tommy Toes and cucumbers. It was starting off with just strawberries, and then I found out this afternoon it's going to be Tommy Toes and cucumbers. And that's Eddie Archer's fault that it's going to be Tommy Toes and cucumbers. But that's all right. Nothing wrong with that. But it is good to be back out to God's house tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. If you brought your Bibles, and Ellie went home with her Nana today. Then Gigi and Poppy came and picked up Addie. And Addie's just been in one of them moods all week, man. It's just one thing goes wrong. It's 45 minutes, 30 minutes, hour, crying nonstop. Can't do anything to pacify her, and anybody that's raised little kids here, you all know what that's like. So we were definitely thankful to see Gigi and Poppy come through the door to take Addie. And she got to go to Tractor Supply, and they had some chicks down there, so she learned where chicken nuggets come from McDonald's, from the little bitty chicks. But and they got shoes on tonight from that Mary and K-Pop got them. I've got a big blended family, and that's all right. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. So got a wonderful church family too. But 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40, and I left that sword up here. I didn't mean to. So if anybody falls asleep tonight, I'll just get you a good whack with that sword, okay? See what happens. I'm just kidding. And the Bible says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." And the thought that God laid on her heart and mind, like we said this morning, is a key three words in that verse, five smooth stones. Now this morning we learned why those stones were smooth. It's because that they had been in the brook and the water had been going over those stones for I don't know how many years. And we learned how that water helped erode all the rough and sharp places off of that rock. And we was able to correlate that to the Lord Jesus Christ being the living waters, and how He takes the rough parts of our lives and smooths them over and gets rid of them, and how thankful that we all are for that. And then we was able to talk about this morning about how those rock being in that brook gave them access to other rock that was in the brook. And when the water would send those rocks downstream, those rocks would rub together. Again, getting rid of the sharp places, getting rid of the rough places, making them smooth and flat and things like that. And then we was able to correlate that to us together, us worshiping and serving God together. As much time as we can spend with each other, like we read in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. We'll just smoothen each other out. How the Lord Jesus Christ uses each and every one of us. So now we're going to go in tonight to why these rock, why it was so important that they were smooth. And we know that it was important that they were smooth because the Bible points out that they were smooth. Like we said this morning, it just didn't say five stones. It didn't say five sharp stones, five crooked stones, five big stones. The Bible says five smooth stones. So we're going to see why that is so important. But we must know and we must understand that David is arming himself for the battle against Goliath. And before this moment, or maybe a little bit after, I can't remember, but King Saul had him put on his breastplate and his sword and things like that, and you'll find that David wasn't big enough or anything like that to be able to wear King Saul's warrior apparel. But that was the way King Saul was wanting him to fight. Listen, we cannot fight Satan the way the world wants us to fight Satan. We're going to fail, we're going to get beat, we're going to get defeated. We can only fight Satan, we can only fight the devil tonight the way that God wants us to, praise God. God did not want David wearing all this fancy apparel and having this sword and all this shield and all this stuff. David was going to use his slingshot. Now, this slingshot that we read about here in 1 Samuel, it's not like the ones that are made today where you pull it back and you let it go and it slings the rocks out forward like that, or pebbles or whatever it may be. But this slingshot, you took it and you twirled it like that and then you fired. That was the type of slingshot that David was using. So why did he pick five smooth stones? Now, we're not going to focus on the five part. I've heard many opinions on the five. It could have been that David wanted to be prepared in case it took more than five. That could be true. I've heard that Goliath had, maybe it was four brothers that David may want to use them on. Maybe that's true. I don't know. The Bible doesn't come out and directly say why that David picked five stones. So we're not going to focus on the five part. We're just going to focus on the smooth stones part. Well, one of the reasons that David picked a smooth stone was because when that stone left his slingshot, it would leave freely. If it had a sharp edge on it or something like that, it was liable to get caught up into that slingshot and it may not come out freely. It may not come out with as much speed. It may not come out with as much force. That's the same way, like we said this morning, when you go to skip rocks, you always pick up a smooth rock. You always pick up a flat rock because you can throw it with more force. You can throw it with more speed and things like that, and you have a better chance of skipping that rock. Think of it like this. Lacey was a great softball pitcher, and she could throw very, very hard. Well, that softball is smooth. I know it's got grips on it, laces on it, and things like that to help you get a better grip on it, but for the most part, that softball is smooth. People throw baseballs now. You know, it used to be back in the day, if you could throw a baseball 93 miles an hour, that's bringing heat. Well, now that's a changeup. They throw 105, 102, and 106 mile an hour now, but the smoothness of that ball helps it rotate, helps it come out with more power, helps it go with more force. Well, that was no different than this smooth stone that David was getting ready to sling out of his slingshot. It allowed the stone to fly freely out of the sling. In other words, nothing was going to be holding these stones back. And the more and more you begin to think about that, you can make a spiritual revelation with that, or a visual representation of that, is this. We correlated ourselves to the stones this morning. Well, are you not glad that when you get saved, you are set free and nothing is holding you back anymore? When God takes those rough edges off your life, when God erodes those rough places off your life, every bad decision, every sin, every terrible thing that you said, every terrible thing that you done, praise God, when you've asked for forgiveness of it and you've went to the rocks of rocks, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you talk about a smooth rock, praise God. Jesus is the smoothest rock there's ever been, hallelujah. He was perfect in every way imaginable. But when we get a drink of that everlasting water and we become a smooth stone, praise God, the sin that used to be holding us back, don't hold us back no more. The devil that used to be holding us back, bless God, don't hold us back no more. The world that used to be holding us back, bless God, don't hold us back anymore. Why? Because God has smoothened us out, and when God sends us out of the slingshot after we've been saved, praise God, we're zipping through, moving freely, hallelujah. And I'll tell you right now, praise God, when Jesus comes back to get the church is those that are saved, that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be called up to meet Him in the air. I'll tell you right now, bless God, God's children are going to be moving freely through the air. Hallelujah. We're going to be moving freely. John 8, 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're being held back tonight in your Christian walk, in your Christian life, it's not God's fault. It's not Jesus' fault. It's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's not even the devil's fault, because he ain't got that much power over God. It's your fault. And it's not that we don't have power over God. We don't have power over God. But that's a personal decision that we got to make. That's a personal decision that we got to make. Say, God, now I'm saved, and now you know what, God? I want to move freely when I go to work. I don't want nothing holding me back from serving you. I want to move freely when I go to school. I don't want nothing holding me back to keep me from serving you, bless God. So when that's allowed for that stone to move freely from the sling. Now, what is important about the stone moving freely from the swing? Well, this is what is important about that. Let me see if there was a verse I was supposed to read with that. I can't remember. My mind is going 100 miles an hour. Look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48. Let me tell you how free David was. Let's give you an example of how free David was. Talked about the stone going out of the sling, how free it was. Well, look how free David felt getting ready to fight this giant. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. Look how free David is. David hastened and ran toward the army and met the Philistine. I don't know about you all, but to me that sounds like a man that's living pretty free to run towards a giant and towards an entire army. Praise God, we can do that too. Hallelujah. Not because of us, but who's living in us. Praise God. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. How thankful that we can be for that. So because that stone could move freely, it allowed it to have more force. Now, I'm no physics major or anything like that, but I will tell you this. If Dustin throws a baseball at me and it's only going 30 miles an hour, it's going to hurt, one, because I'm a wimp, but two, it's going to hurt because it's a baseball. But if Lacey throws it and it's going 68 miles an hour, which one's going to hurt worse? Come on. Lacey. Yeah. And I'm not saying Lacey can throw faster than you, Dustin. I'm just using that as an example. I can keep saying that? Okay, that's true. Something that's moving faster is going to hurt more. You watch these, and man, I was always too scared to play baseball. And the number one reason I was too scared to play baseball, I know we got several boys that play baseball here, but the number one reason I was scared to play baseball is I didn't want to get hit by that baseball. It ain't like football. You got all this protective gear on. Baseball, you can get hit in the ribs. You can get hit in the stomach. You can get hit in the face, the shoulder, the arms, the shin, the foot, the toe. Any body part imaginable you could think about, you could get hit at in baseball. Well, the faster this stone went, the more force that it was going to hit with. So because this smooth stone is moving freely, it allowed that stone to have more force. Now, this stone was going to have a whole lot of force if it was going to kill a giant. Now, I don't remember the exact measurements on Goliath, so I'm not going to say them up here because I don't want to tell you a lie or anything like that, but he was a giant. Probably so strong he could pick up a house, I'm not sure, but he was an absolute giant. So it was going to take a stone with a lot of force coming out of David's slingshot. It was first of all going to have to move freely, like we said. And because it could move freely, that stone was going to have a lot of force. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I want to live a Christian life that's got a ton of force behind it. I want to live a Christian life that's got so much force behind it that when somebody's lost comes encounters with me, or when somebody that is lost comes encounter with you, they can feel the force coming off of us. No doubt, I believe that stone was moving so fast when it came out of David's slingshot. I don't know if Goliath could see it was moving so fast, but I bet he could hear it humming through the air. I think he could hear the force that little stone, that smooth stone was coming with. Bless God, hallelujah. The church today, not just Liberty Fellowship Church, but the church of the born-again believers, the church of the saints of God, hallelujah. We should be a church of force. We should be a Christian of force. You look around and say, man, the devil's got force and powers and principalities. Yes, he does, but praise God, the powers and principalities of Satan, praise God, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus overcame all that, praise God. I know it's 2023 and the world is turned upside down, but I tell you right now, God is still the same, and the same force that God had in the very creation, the same force that God had when Lazarus was raised from the dead, the same force that God had when the Red Sea was parted, bless God, the same force that God had, hallelujah, when He raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, is the same force flowing through our veins tonight, hallelujah. We can be Christians of force. You watch the news, it'll make you feel like you can't be a Christian of force. But man alive, we serve a powerful God. Now, you can't go out here and do nothing on your own. Don't try to go out here and turn the world upside down and start a revival by yourself, because you can't do nothing. But praise God, God can do it all. that stone was moving freely out of that swing, and it gave it a ton of force. I want you to do some homework this week. Go read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. When you read Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, you're going to find out how much force your life didn't have when you was a sinner. How little you were when you were a sinner. How weak you were when you didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But let me tell you, I'm just going to read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. But if you want to talk about a life that you can have as a Christian, living a life of force, I'm not going to read it tonight. You can do that for homework. I'll give you some Bible study to do this week. Ephesians 2, chapter 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, verse 5 says this. Even when we were dead in sins. Now I want to stop right there. That's as weak as you can get, folks, being dead. You're dead, you can't do anything. That's as weak as anybody can possibly get. Hath quickened us together. With what? With Christ. By grace are ye saved. You can't go out here and live a life of force for Jesus if you ain't saved, folks. If you're dead in your sins and you're trying to live a life of force for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trying to be like this smooth stone coming out of this slingshot, it's impossible. It's impossible. But praise God, but with God, all things are possible. You can live a Christian life of force. Praise God. You know, the biggest thing, I love football, and I'll just use another sports analogy. SEC, I don't care who you are, it's the best football conference in America. It is. And if you ask everybody why the SEC is the best football conference in America, all the coaches in all the leagues, they all say the same thing. It's not because the quarterbacks. It's not because the running backs. It's not because the wide receivers. Everybody's got those. It's those big linemen that's in the Southeastern Conference that's been raised on biscuits and gravy and cornbread and lifted rock. And eat baked potatoes and, you know, that soul food, mashed potatoes and gravy and things. That's what they say. That's the difference. You get somebody from down in Georgia and they're going up against a big offensive lineman that's going out up against a defensive tackle from Oregon. It just ain't, it's Southern and North, it just ain't going to work. And I'm not saying anything against the West Coast or North or anything like that. They're just country folk. They got a lot of power. They got a lot of force. When them offensive linemen hit them small defensive linemen, pop them back just like that. Same thing on the defensive line. These big Southern defensive tackles and things like that. When they hit those offensive linemen, boom, just like that, force. Bless God, I want to be a big offensive lineman for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pull around that center and pop the devil just like that and allow them to go and score a touchdown, praise God. I hope that analogy made sense. I don't know where I went. I'm ready for football season, if you can't tell. Let's be Christians of force. The stone left the slingshot in force, but let's not forget this. David was also living a life of force. Nobody else would go out there and fight Goliath. If anybody should have done it, it should have been Saul. He was the king. Well, he was a coward. He wasn't going out there. None of the rest of the Israelite army was going out there. But son, you know what? It made David mad. It made David mad that Goliath was going out there, I believe, for 40 days and defying God, mocking God, making fun of God. It made David so mad that he wanted to do something about it, praise God. That's what I call righteous anger right there. That's good. So yes, these stones had great force because they were moving freely. So let us be stones that have great force for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that gets us to the last thing. What else do we find out about this? When the smooth stone could come out of the sling freely, nothing holding it back, it allowed it to come out with more force. When we get saved, we live life more freely and we can live life with more force because the Holy Spirit's living inside of us. What happens with after that? There's more certainty. One of the reasons David got a smooth stone was this. When that smooth stone is traveling through the air, If there's a lot of wind blowing or anything like that, it's not going to have much of an impact on the trajectory of that stone because it is smooth. It's moving with so much force. It's moving with so much power. It's moving with so much velocity that the elements are not going to affect that stone. It's going to head right for Goliath's forehead, as the Bible says. Again, if this rock would have had scuffs all over, if this rock would have had sharp edges or anything like that, it wouldn't have came out freely. It wouldn't have came out with force, and it may not have even made it to Goliath. But because it was a smooth stone, there was more certainty in the direction that it was going. It was moving freely. It was moving with force. In other words, there was not a doubt in David's mind. I could just see him gathering these five smooth stones out of the brook like we said this morning. I can see David picking through the rock and saying, no, that one's not good enough. It's got a sharp edge. No, that one's not good enough. It's too big. No, that one's not good enough. It's got a bunch of wrinkles in it or something like that. If rock can have a wrinkle, I don't know. But I can see David doing all that, picking five smooth ones because he wanted to be certain that he hit his target. Now, how important is that to us? The stone followed a straight path, a direct course. Let me read this to you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46 and 47. Now this is before David has not even slung a stone yet. They're in his lunch bag. He's run out to challenge Goliath, but he has not thrown one yet. 1 Samuel 17, 46 and 47. I want you to listen to how certain that David is. Now it's important that we understand this. David's certainty was not in the five smooth stones. Don't get caught up in the sermon, the title of the sermon, to where you miss the point. His certainty was not in the five smooth stones. His certainty was in the God that he was serving. But it's the God that we serve, looking at ourselves as stones, it's the God that we serve that makes us smooth stones. So I want to make sure that you get that. So I'm not trying to give all the credit to the stones in this, okay? But notice what David says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 46 and 47. This is, you ever certain scripture where there's no doubt whatsoever? This is it. This day will the Lord, not will the Lord might, not will maybe the Lord will do this. No, he said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Now, I don't know about you all, but that sounds pretty certain, don't you? And I will smite thee. Not I might smite thee, but I will smite thee. In other words, you're going down, big guy. And take thine head from thee. Not only are you going down, but I'm cutting your head off. Man, that fires me up. And I will give thee carcasses. I'm going to give your carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. The birds are going to feed on your body. The birds are going to feed on your carcass. He ain't saying might or maybe or anything like that. Praise God, David is certain this is going to happen. To the wild beasts of the earth, it's untelling how many beasts Goliath had killed. Well, bless God, now the beasts are going to feed on him. Woo, I love it. I love it when the instruments that the devil uses, and that's what Goliath was. He was an instrument the devil was using. I love it when instruments the devil using, God devours them up. And you might say, well, Nick, that sounds mean. Listen, I tell you right now, we're either with God or we're with Satan. There's no such thing as down the fence. And people are either agents of God or they're agents of Satan. And Satan has his agents in the world today. They are called demons. And yes, I believe in demonic possessions. People were possessed in the Bible by demons. They can be possessed today by demons. The devil has his agents today. And it might sound mean, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm thankful when the agents of demons, the agents of the devil, are no more. That all the earth may know, whew, that there is a God in Israel. That's pretty certain right there. It gets better. Verse 47. And all the assembly shall know, everybody that's there. I can just see thousands of people around watching this. You know how thousands of people go to arenas to watch wrestling matches, UFC fighting? I'm a WCW guy myself. I like the wrestling back then. I'm not into this UFC stuff. But you are, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. And all the assembly shall know, certainty, no doubts whatsoever, shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. I want to tell you something tonight. If you are going through something and you are fighting, stop fighting, because the battle's the Lord's. You're causing more trouble for yourself. You're causing more heartache for yourself. You're digging a deeper ditch than you're already in. Bless God. Fight the battle on your knees praying to God, because the battle is the Lord's. Praise God. And when God fights for you, you're a winner. He will give into your hands. That's a verse of certainty. Now let's skip to this. What's another reason David was certain? Well, he slings it out of his slingshot. Hits Goliath right in the forehead. I don't know how far away he was from Goliath. If the Bible says how far away he was from Goliath, I have missed it. Okay? But I don't know how far away he was. But we do know that the Bible says that David slung that stone, smooth stone. He hit Goliath right in the forehead. And boom. Just like that, he fell. Now, just playing this out in my head. I don't know if when Goliath fell, everybody knew he was dead right then. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But look how certain that David was that he was dead. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. David made a promise to Goliath. He said, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to cut your head off. You talk about living a life freely in Christ. You talking about living a Christian life of force. Praise God, David was doing that right here. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. That tells you how big he was right there. He's standing on top of him and took his sword. Woo, man, I love it. Took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. David was certain he was dead. He didn't need an EMS team to walk out there to make sure he had a pulse. He didn't need an EMS team to go out there and hook up a thing to him and see if the line was going up and down like that. He didn't need an AED to go out there and say they're dead or anything like that. David knew as soon as that stone hit Goliath in the forehead, he was dead, and he was so certain, he ran and jumped on top of him, took his sword, and cut his head off, bless God. Praise God, that's living a Christian life of force. That's living a Christian life freely. Having so much faith and having so much confidence in God that you don't doubt what God is having you to do, and you don't doubt the plan that God has for you. Praise God. When we've spent time in the brook, when we've had a drink from the fountain that never runs dry, the rough edges of our life erode, and it allows us to live a life of freedom. It allows us to live a life of force, and it allows us to live a life of certainty. Romans 8, 38, 39 summarizes this better than anything. For I am persuaded, that means certain. For I am persuaded, for I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. That's in the Bible. That's in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. That is the certainty that we can live with, praise God. And hallelujah, because of that certainty, we can live freely, we can live with force, just like these smooth stones that came out of David's slingshot, praise God, and we can live a life of certainty tonight. How thankful that we can be for that. But just remember, these stones wouldn't have been smooth if they wouldn't have been in the brook and if they wouldn't have rubbed against one another all them years. Stay in the brook. stay in the water, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll smooth you out. Stay with each other. Iron sharpens iron. It'll smooth you out. And when the Goliaths come up in your life, whoo, glory to God, you're going to take its sword and cut its head off after you hit it with a slingshot. I hope you all enjoyed that tonight. It's 15 minutes till, but I'm done. I ain't got nothing else to say. That was a good thing about it being a two-parter. Get out about 5 minutes earlier this morning, you get out about 15 minutes earlier tonight, okay? So pray for Dan and Susie as they're on their way back. I think they're coming back tomorrow. Don't forget Wednesday night. Prayer meeting. Zechariah, I've been studying Zechariah. Don't forget our fellowship day, May 7th. Is that right, Les? May the 7th, do not forget about that. There won't be breakfast this coming up Sunday, but the next Sunday they'll be serving breakfast again. Is that right, Les? Do I have that right? Or Brenda, do I have that right? Okay, awesome. I don't know who to ask here for what's going on. I'm sorry. Okay, so breakfast, don't forget about that. And don't forget this month, really hitting home, inviting people to church and things like that. And it's good to see you. New faces, had new faces this morning. It seems like for the last 2 months, there's been new faces here every service that we've had. So that's absolutely been terrific. So I know Dan is very happy with people inviting people to church, and we should. We should invite people to church. People get invited to concerts. They get invited to football games. They get invited to go out and eat. Praise God, we should invite them out to God's house too. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. Let's stand to our feet. We will be dismissed in a word of prayer. Amen. Yes. Dad, go ahead and dismiss us, please.
Our heart edges off of us, Lord, make us those smooth stones.